Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
These guys have earnings coming up next week.
Then you've got the labor. I mean, the labor here is tremendous. I mean,
15.3% is the number, which is alarming.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch. A different voice today. I'm Terry Savage, sitting in today for Steve Bertrand, just for today, but I'm planning to have a lot of fun with all of you, so stick around. I will be back tomorrow in my regular spot as a guest. But today we have a lot on the agenda. We're going to talk in a few moments to Dr. J, John Najarian, about the markets. In this next segment after that, affordable health care insurance for a small business. Be sure to tune in. It's a once-a-year opportunity. And then in the third section, I will be taking your questions. So let me give you the phone number. You can send them in now. Our producer, Bennett, is going to be standing by at 312-981-7200. We'll see how I do on that. And in the fourth section, we have our usual podcast about dignity in business. So let's get started. So excited to welcome Dr. J. Was this a big surprise for you, Dr. J, that I'm the one asking questions?
It's a very welcome surprise. It's always nice to talk to you, Terry, so thank you. I'm feeling very privileged.
Well, I'm so glad to get a hold of you because I have all these questions to ask. The market's now turned, the Dow anyways, turned negative. The S&P and NASDAQ have been negative. What do you think about the market right now?
I think it's all about how quickly we went from 3%, which was just five trading days ago in the 10-year bond, to 3.25%. We have not pushed higher than that now. We've pulled back, in fact, a little bit. So, Terry, I think that even though we're pricing in a December rate hike, which I believe we will likely get, I don't think that we push a lot higher than 330 or 340, even with a couple more rate increases. And that'll still make us rather one of the only economies in the world that's doing so well that it needs to raise rates. Germany, the 10-year rate is right around 5.5%. Half of 1%. So I think this is still the place to be for your money.
And for your money, is that going stocks? Do you avoid bonds now if rates are rising, bond prices fall? But stock prices are pretty fully priced, earnings expectations. I mean, can this go on for much longer?
I think it can. We'll find out, obviously. You know, we've got a big earnings season heading our way Friday, with several of the biggest banks in our world, and certainly the world, reporting over the next couple sessions, beginning with Friday's reports. So I think, Terry, they're going to report some fairly strong numbers. And then I think a lot of the rest of the economy here, just like Jay Powell, the Fed chairman, has said, everything seems to be clicking about as well as it could. And given the lower tax rate that corporations and individuals are paying, I think that continues to pull a lot of money to the bottom line for both individuals and for corporations.
So it's Goldilocks. Everything that could be going right seems to be going right. The two-year Treasury is now yielding 2.88%. The 10-year, 3.21, or it's gotten up to 3.25%. At what point do we either have an inverted yield curve? If the Fed keeps raising rates, that's always been a sign of a recession. They're worried about too much growth, too much move going on in the economy. They raise short-term rates higher than long-term rates. Not very far away with that. Quarter point twice would do it. Are you worried about that?
I think all of us are somewhat worried, but I think that the Fed is really paying close attention to this. And as I already sort of said, with the Germany and Sweden and the Netherlands between 0.5% and 0.75%, with us pushing back through 3% and now to 3.25%, I think our Fed has done its job about as smoothly as they could, and we've only corrected about 1.5% from the top of our market. So I think we've got some very strong earnings that are about to be reported, and I wouldn't be getting out of the market ahead of that.
I think that's what everyone wants to know, your outlook on the market, and I think that's terrific. So just one quick question before I run out of time and they're signaling me. At what point do you start worrying about inflation? Is that what the longer-term interest, I mean, the strength in the U.S. economy, at what point does it go from great growth to, oops, there's inflation?
When the businesses actually start falling over themselves to attract talent, to attract workers, we're probably very close to that right now. We've still been able to draw, as you know, Terry, workers from the those that have stayed out of the job market for a while. We're still able to draw those folks in that haven't been seeking jobs for several years, and now they're coming back in. I think if the employers have to pay a lot more, if that becomes a lot more dear to them, then I think that'll be what the Fed notices and starts increasing faster.
I'm sure you will warn us of that in your regular Tuesday appearances. So much fun being with you, Dr. J. Thank you very much. John Najarian, the King of Options. Thank you, John. And welcome back to the Wintrust Business Lunch. Again, I'm Terry Savage, filling in for Steve Bertrand. A reminder that at the bottom of the hour, in that segment, I'm going to take your questions. So if you want to call in, 312-981-7200. Someone said, Terry, you better limit that. So, okay, I'm going to limit that to personal finance questions, but I'm looking forward to talking with you later. But right now, something big's happening in the next 2 months, and it's so overwhelming. When I think about writing columns about it, I go, oh, I'd have to get organized, because this is healthcare time. On October 15th, and you will see on terrysavage.com and in the Monday Tribune my columns, October 15th becomes the Medicare open enrollment and for Part D and Medicare Advantage, the Affordable Care Act, the old Obamacare, which, yes, is still around, no penalties for not having it in 2019, but that open enrollment begins November 1st. And today, we're going to talk about a very special, they call it a special enrollment period for small businesses. Now, you know, maybe you don't know, I was shocked, that only 34% of Illinois small businesses offer health insurance to their employees. They say, we just can't afford it. We don't have an insurance broker. It's too much money. Just go get yourself ACA programs. Those premiums on the Affordable Care Act are rising. If you don't get a subsidy, they're absolutely unaffordable. And so let me introduce you to Alan Wishner from thehealthinsuranceshop.com, thehealthinsuranceshop.com. He's here to tell us what this special enrollment period means. So if you are someone who is a small business owner or an employee who doesn't get coverage through your boss's company, or if you know somebody, a brother or sister, you need to listen to this segment. Alan, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me what this deal is.
Well, the special enrollment period for small businesses, Terry, is quite remarkable, and it's unprecedented. It's a mandate of the Affordable Care Act that requires all health insurers that are issuing policies in the state to create a special enrollment period when employers who meet the eligibility requirements can apply for coverage without having to have any contribution requirement and no employee participation requirement.
Now, let's back up a second. Every insurance company, Blue Cross, Humana, everybody else, is required to allow small businesses with from 2 to 50 employees to get the same kind of terrific policies they're probably giving to Boeing or any other big company in Illinois?
Yes, you'll find that the plans that are available are PPOs, large network PPOs, small network PPOs, HMOs, alternative financing, such as health savings accounts, etc. So a small business can actually offer three or four plans to their employees.
But wait, but what's the deal about the small business itself not having to pay?
Many employers would like to offer coverage, but they have a difficult time because it requires a contribution on their part.
Usually.
Always during the regular time. During the special enrollment period, no employer contribution is required. So an employer can have the ability to provide access to his employees, not have any contribution requirement, and even if as few as one employee elected to go on the plan, that would be considered a plan of group insurance.
So the boss says, wait, I'm on Medicare. I don't need this, so I'm not taking it, but just offers it. Now, is it ungodly expensive for the employees if the employer doesn't contribute at all?
Well, right now, group plans are less money than individual plans, and they're better. They're better because they have bigger networks, and many of the things that happen in Chicago, such as people in the individual market a couple of years ago lost the access to all the teaching hospitals. Yeah. That didn't happen in the small group market.
So small group plans offer access. They're maybe less expensive. They're affordable. Now, what about things like, but someone employee has a pre-existing condition that's pretty expensive. Can the small business be turned down, or will they have to pay more because one or two employees have health problems?
No. During this guaranteed issuance period, all employees that apply for coverage are guaranteed issue, no pre-existing condition limitation. These are true plans of group insurance.
This is awesome, and I think this is just a public service, I think, to let small businesses know 60% of them don't offer health insurance.
That's correct.
So how do you get started?
Getting started is easy. Because it's in the group market, the normal process is that the employer can either go to the healthinsuranceshop.com, or they can call the number, which is 773-880-8484. On the website, they can fill out a census, and they can get quotes on the plan. They can
quotes
request an agent.
Several companies? This is the health insurance shop will give
represents several companies.
Represents several companies.
Yes.
Is there any cost or obligation to getting a quote or learning more about it?
When we're dealing with Blue Cross, there is no cost. In the small group market, many carriers stop paying commissions. So when we're dealing with a carrier that does not pay commission, there may be an administrative fee. However, it's quite reasonable and definitely offset by the savings.
Okay, let me see if I get this straight. You could start applying for quotes November 1st, so that's a couple of weeks away.
Right.
You can get health insurance for all your employees. The company doesn't have to pay. If you have 26 employees and only two take it, that's okay. It's still a group.
That's a plan of group insurance.
If only one takes it, okay. They have great policies from all the major insurers, the same coverage they give to big businesses. Doesn't matter if someone's sick, and it's less expensive than Affordable Care Act.
Absolutely. If I can go one step further quite quickly, is that because it's a plan of group insurance, employees that are participating in the cost of the insurance, through proper plan design, they could pay that premium on a pre-tax basis.
Oh, my goodness. All right. I'm going to give you the number again. And the healthinsuranceshop.com, thehealthinsuranceshop.com to download the census form, or 773-880-8484. I'll write a column about this next week and have that in my column at terrysavage.com. Alan Wishner, thank you. I hope all you small businesses go out and get this kind of policy and make it available. All right, now let's figure out what I'm supposed to do next, but let's take a break. And I'm Terry Savage. Welcome back to the Wintrust Business Lunch. Flying without a net now for the next few minutes. They let me decide to take live questions from our listeners. The phone number, 312-981-7200. Let's get right to it. The first caller is Kevin from the North Side. Kevin, what's your question?
Hi, Terry. I know a while back you had recommended fixed income. You were recommending treasury bills. And since you have recommended that, I've been actually getting into them pretty heavily in my fixed income part of my portfolio, which I'm keeping at about 50% and 50% in the market. So I'm just wondering if you are still recommending that as one of the best areas to invest in.
Real quick, well, treasury bills are maturities of 3 and 6 months and a year. And when I wrote that
column. And I'm doing the 6 months.
Okay. And when I wrote that column, banks were offering 0.42% on a 6 month CD, and treasury bills of 6 months were offering nearly 2%. Now, 6 month treasury bills are well over 2%. And you buy them at treasurydirect.gov. And if you go to terrysavage.com under columns, just search treasury bills. Look, if you have short-term money that's rolling over and rates are rising, that's a perfect strategy. It's what I'm doing myself. If you get into the longer term, 10 years or 20 or 30 years, then you have to worry, well, I'm locked up for 10 years. What if rates rise? The value of my treasuries will drop like all bonds. So for short-term liquidity, treasurydirect.gov and go to terrysavage.com, a column that will take you by the hand and show you how to buy treasury bills. Thank you for calling in, Kevin. And now let me switch to Beth from Chicago. What's your question, Beth?
Hi, Terry. I have two kids at home. They're in their mid-20s. They're trying. They're both working full-time. They're saving their money, but just in a bank account because they want to purchase a house maybe in the next 2-3 years. How can I, help them to invest it more wisely so their money can grow rather than just sitting in a bank account? They've got like $30,000, $40,000 just sitting there.
You know what? I'm glad it's sitting there. It's what I call chicken money, money you cannot afford to lose. Now, for some people think chicken money is old people. Oh, they're not working anymore. They have to be very careful. But if you've got a 1 or 2 year target horizon for buying a house and needing a down payment, you want to get the shortest, safest investment possible. And you don't want to risk losing any. So you probably just heard me talking about treasury bills. Go to terrysavage.com and just search under the columns for treasury bills, and you'll see how to buy them. They probably are earning. The banks know that people are just sort of stuck there. They don't know there's an equally safe, equally liquid, equally wonderful, but much higher yielding investment. IOUs directly from the federal government, the same government that insures the FDIC in your bank account. So don't encourage them to go out speculating in the market. But they might also want to be starting a Roth IRA. And for that, they can go out and invest in a Standard & Poor 500 index fund at Vanguard or Fidelity and have their money grow over the long run. There'll be ups and downs in the market, but for the down payment that they need the money for in the next year or two, keep it safe. It's chicken money. Thank you for calling in. We got a couple of questions here that were just passed on to me about this health insurance thing we were going to talk about. Someone asked, does a small business have to have a minimum number of employees? It must have 2 employees, but only one needs to take the policy. So if you're the boss and say you're on Medicare and you don't need health insurance, but you got a valued employee that's you've paid wages to over the last year, you can't just put someone on in the fourth quarter. They got real tough about that. So if you've been paying wages and filing quarterly 941s, you can offer that to them and they can get a really great deal on health insurance. And do we have time for one more quickie? Okay. Who's this waiting? Phil from South Haven, Michigan. What's your question?
Hi, Terry. Hey, my question is, I'm currently retired, and I'm taking money out of my retirement accounts for everyday living expenses. I'm 64, and I'm waiting to age 70 to take Social Security. I was wondering if there's any thoughts about taking Social Security when I reach full retirement age in order to save more, let my retirement funds grow.
So this is a really simple answer if you only knew what the market was going to do. Because every year you delay taking Social Security, it's equivalent to earning 8%. So in the past decade, and people don't believe this, but with dividends reinvested, the S&P 500 has averaged over 12.5% annual, 10.5, sorry, 10.5% annual return. In the last few years, it's over 12%. So you'd want to keep your money growing. But if you thought this is about the end of the stock market run, then you might want to be taking money, more money out of your IRA or 401k and letting your stock market grow because your Social Security grow, because you know that every year you delay is equivalent of about 8%. And then the other thing is you sound young and healthy, so you're probably going to have great longevity. The higher the base for your Social Security, the more any future inflation COLAs will impact that. So you want the highest base possible. So, you know, by the way, any of you who need financial planning like that, strategies, I mentioned in a column a couple of weeks ago, it's up at terrysavage.com, a company called WealthRamp. And read that, just search WealthRamp. They have fee-only, fiduciary, your interests ahead of theirs, financial planners. You fill out the questionnaire online. Nobody calls you. You get 3 suggestions in this area or wherever you're living. WealthRamp.com is the place to go to find a fee-only financial planner who is a fiduciary. I would love to do this a lot. I see the phone lines are blinking. The producers say, get off, get off, get off. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Kelly Leonard, the Executive Vice President of Second City and host of the WGN podcast, Getting to Yes. We'll be back.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. The coffee business is a tough industry these days, as consumers are loving every drip, but they're as loyal to their brands as ever. One of those top brands is Illy, an Italian coffee roaster, and they're finally turning their liquid nectar into single-serve coffee capsules. And obviously, it's big news for consumers, but also for our very own Mondelez International, who's teaming up on the deal to take on other coffee giants. The question, though, is will the high-end specialized brand be enough to take on the other players like Nestle and Starbucks? Given there's a coffee shop on practically every street corner in this country, we'll have to see this one through. And pop quiz, what other business is basically on like every other street corner in Chicago? Mattress stores. Why are there so many? You only really need one bed. But anyway, Mattress Firm is a Houston-based company, and they're closing 29 of their 211 Illinois locations after they filed for bankruptcy. So you better get out there and stock up on some mattresses, I guess. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thanks, Orion. Terry Savage here at the Wintrust Business Lunch. I guess we see how politics enters into the price of cornflakes and gasoline. And if you're going to ruin the farmer's business, you might as well let them sell more to ethanol. But that's another story for another day. We have Kelly Leonard, Executive Vice President of Second City. And you've probably listened to his podcast, WGNRadio.com. You know, we know Second City is the most creative thing in Chicago. I mean, that's probably easy for me to say without much dispute. But you've turned your podcast and the creativity of what you do at Second City into sort of a tool for businesses.
Yeah. So we have a division at Second City that's been around for decades called Second City Works, which has always taken improv principles and comedy into the corporate world, whether it's to lighten up an event or to actually teach people in business environments to be more agile, more creative. And when I started hosting the podcast here, we really did it because we wanted to have interesting conversations. We thought it would be fun. Well, we didn't realize it would be kind of like a business development tool. So a fair amount of the people that we've interviewed, we end up collaborating on other kinds of projects, even kind of creating full-fledged business lines.
Well, is today's example just one of those?
So it might be. The person that we're talking to today, and this podcast just went up, is Donna Hicks, Dr. Donna Hicks, and she's a Harvard professor. So her expertise is international conflict. She worked with Nelson Mandela and Desmond Tutu. She worked in Northern Ireland and the Middle East. And what she learned out of that experience is that when people are irretractable in conflict, and say this could be in a negotiation, it's usually because they feel a threat to their dignity. And what she recognizes is that we conflate dignity with respect, but they're very different. Everyone's born with dignity. Everyone has self-worth, but you have to earn respect. And so it's not a matter of respect. You can get there with respect, but if you feel your dignity is harmed, that's where things go haywire.
So that's very internal, very personal.
Yeah.
I know you want to go somewhere else, but apply that to Washington today.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we don't seem to have any respect. And the dignity seems to have just a word that doesn't apply today at all.
Absolutely. Well, this is what we're doing, right? So what both sides are doing, and look, I'm a theater guy who lives in Chicago. We know where my politics are.
Okay.
the left does this and the right does this, is when they aim at someone's dignity, when they say that their intention is bad, that they mean harm, there is no way to negotiate from that. So what we need to do if we want to get somewhere together, and by the way, human beings are wired for connection. There's so much science behind this, behavioral science and neuroscience, that we want to be connected. And that's why we tribe up. We are going to be disconnected if we just keep taking aim at others' dignity, that they're not good enough, smart enough, competent enough. That stuff is a non-starter.
Did you ask Donna Hicks in the podcast if can you be too far gone? Can you have destroyed dignity on both sides too badly so that you could never? I mean, is it Congress? Let's just forget the president.
Yeah, no. Congress. We haven't gone too far. It can always come back. And one of the great examples she gives is the story of Nelson Mandela. How long was he in prison? Never surrendered his dignity. And when he left prison in South Africa, ended up having an amazing later part of his career. But if you talk to his jailers, too, he earned so much respect from them because dignity is not something we own our own dignity. So if we can't have it taken away, we allow it to be taken away. So one of the things that I found very hopeful in the book and then the interview was this idea that we do have supreme agency over that aspect of our being. You can harm us a lot. She has a great phrase. She goes, "The person who said sticks and stones break my bones, but words will never hurt me, got it completely wrong." Because if you think about social pain as opposed to physical pain, what lasts longer? Except for like major, you know, problems. But a bad comment, a hurtful phrase, that can stick with you for life. So we have the ability to control that, to not say it. We also have the ability as human beings to deflect it and not let it ruin our dignity.
What advice would you give to management, CEO of any corporation? I mean, General Electric's been through so much. Tribune Broadcasting, but Tron or whatever we are now.
Sure.
How can you retrieve it when your company has been through a lot of actual real financial woes?
Two things. One, words matter. So, you know, watch your language. Don't use othering language. Don't use diminutive language. So words matter. And the other thing, say you're sorry. If you make a mistake, say you're sorry. People will respond to that.
And do bosses listen when you go and present this kind of a solution to their corporate, you know?
Some bosses do. I don't think that most bosses actually do, but I do think that's changing. I think generationally speaking, we probably have a generation coming up that is going to be more responsive to this.
Let's all hope for that.
Yeah.
Kelly Leonard, Executive Vice President of Second City, host of the WGN podcast, Getting to Yes, and you can go to WGNradio.com and listen to that.